I have the pleasure this afternoon of talking with Dr. Zane Robinson-Wolf. Zane, could you tell us a little bit about your background in nursing education?
Yes, I'll be glad to, Marilyn. I started out early after critical care practice in teaching students in a diploma program in the City Hospital in Philadelphia, Philadelphia General Hospital. And after that, I migrated to Boston with my husband and then ended up getting my Master of Science degree at Boston College and taught honor students there. And then because my husband was in the Navy stateside during Vietnam, I ended up getting a job, and they took me part-time to full-time in a community college at Tidewater Community College in Virginia. And that was really a good exposure to adult learners, I think. It was a different population. And after that, then I taught in baccalaureate education at Villanova University and RNBSN in baccalaureate education at LaSalle University for a number of years, and started the graduate nursing program and implemented the DNP program at LaSalle. So I've been teaching different levels of nursing students for a while and also taught some qualitative research methods courses for Widener University at one point when people were just getting used to having qualitative research. So that's kind of it. I've taught for quite a long time, and I've loved it.
As you reflect back over the last 40 years of your career, what has changed in nursing education and how we teach students?
Well, I think we always had a certain amount of simulation, but it was pretty low fidelity simulation. I think that one of the things that was done is increase the practice through simulation with students over the years. I think additionally we've done better assessment of student learning and applied some theories of education to the fact that we have classrooms that have diverse students in terms of what they and how they learn best. So I think that's another kind of, in addition to simulation, that the theory in back of different learning styles has had an influence on what nursing educators have done. I also believe that the engaged classroom, the flipped classroom, and the use of multimedia approaches to get messages across are incredibly important. Add on to that, I think reflective practice has added something to us understanding what students' experiences are like as they narrate and think about what they have experienced with patients. So I think it's a whole collage of influences over those years, and I think also thinking in a way of our students as future or current colleagues. That's been, you know, sort of one approach in terms of andragogical approaches and having at least adult students, non-freshmen to senior-type students, but RNBSN and graduate students and doctoral students being colleagues that are applying information right away. So I think it's multiple in terms of the influences. Certainly, computers have facilitated communication. Students can, if you're using a learning management system and they have taped lectures, they can use them to review content in a different way and also access more self-test techniques and practice techniques that way as well in terms of content. I think also the emphasis on testing students at different points in their curriculum with standardized tests is another change. So I would add that to my answer, Marilyn.
You told us earlier how you've taught really at all levels of nursing education. How do you think that has kind of expanded your most current roles? So what did that experience do for you over the years?
Well, I think that I've always appreciated that students come from a lot of different backgrounds. And most of the students I've taught have not been financially able and have gotten loans to add to what they have to confront in life. And I think that has really influenced the way I look at them. And I also think that you know, my views on and my investigations in nurse caring have influenced the way I am. And that doesn't mean that students aren't responsible for what they have to demonstrate to us. But I believe that that has made me look at what is happening with them. Having the exposure to different levels of students has enabled me to appreciate just how frightening it is to be a young student in a clinical setting, or even an older student who changes career, and how that is for people to enter and intrude into people's lives. So I think that's huge in terms of the way I think about it. But I also think that we're challenging students ever more to demonstrate what they know. And we've gotten, I think, in a way, a little bit more focused on that. So that's kind of an evolution, I think, that's happening right now in what I'm doing, and I mm-hmm. think what I see others doing as well.
Could you talk a little bit about your research?
My research is kind of a little too eclectic for having, I would say, a program of research on a couple constructs. And what I've really done is tried to emphasize patient safety through medication error research. I got into that very early because of my dissertation, and also got early into looking at caring and caring constructs. But along the way, I've gotten fascinated with educational research, and I sort of like things on the sort of on the dark side, if you want to look at it that way, in terms of students' complaints, or maybe difficult patients, the way people deal with difficult patients. They get those labels in a nursing system and units. And so it's kind of emerged. But a part of what I've done also is try to bring faculty in with me on projects that they may be interested in terms of my research, and then kind of see where they want to run with that. But I have a very eclectic background. But a lot of it started around my dissertation. And that had five ritual categories in it, and that's what started me getting very interested in medications and medication errors. And then additionally, before that, my concept paper at Penn in the School of Nursing was on caring, even though I switched to something else for my dissertation. So I got early in with Madeline Leininger and mm-hmm. Dolores Scott, and then I met Jean Watson, and that opened me up to this other world, and I'm still very connected with that world.
Well, I think one of the things it showed for nurse educators listening in is how you've maintained a research component to your career while you've done educational leadership and dean's role and teaching.
Well, I think I did that, Marilyn, because it made me very happy. Because mm-hmm. there were certain things related to the, let's call it the pragmatics, or somebody could say the scut, of being a dean. That weren't enjoyable all the time, like mm-hmm. contract negotiations and things like that, but it really made me happy to have that part of my life. Anyway,
Zane, could you just, if you could give one lesson to a novice teacher, somebody just starting out who's listening to this podcast, what would you tell her or him?
I would say to try to find some research interest related to education, and also related to clinical practice that you love, and develop a colleague network so that you can work together in basically co-creating and testing research through your career. I would have my foot in both places, mm-hmm. both in clinical and also in education. But I think building a cohort of people around you is really important. Even though they may leave where you're teaching, you can still be connected to them by this kind of mutual interest and also mutual support. So I think that's very important. And you've got to make yourself happy. You've got to create your own happiness. I always believe that, as much as you can.
Well, thank you for talking with Nurse Educator this afternoon, and we appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Marilyn, for the opportunity.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Did I hang up?
No, you did. No, that was wonderful. I was just calling you back to thank you. That was really great.
No problem. And I've loved watching your work over the years, so it's a real joy to hear your voice.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate. I hope it was okay that I asked about your research, because I thought, wow, you have a real interesting area of research. So.
Oh, it's been fun, I have to say.
Thank you so much, and I hope your hip doesn't need more surgery.
Boy, me too. Thanks, Marilyn.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hi, Crystal. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Okay. Wow, it's just looking bleak to get these reviewers.
I've got three more in the wings.
Oh, you do?
Well, three more faculty cases.
Oh, three more people. Well, one of the things I was thinking, so I'm looking at a couple of...
Which ones are we talking about, Pan or Simmons, or
Pan,
all of them? Okay.
Pan, yeah. So a couple of the names. So, for example, you never heard back from Mi Young Yin Kim from Mennonite College of Nursing.
Yes.
You did hear back? No.
No, correct.
Didn't.
Correct.
So
I did not.
I'm thinking I'm going to email her personally.
Okay.
I just want to know, that school is not anywhere comparable to Duke.
It is not a peer institution.
No.
I'm sure it is not. No.
And it's also in the middle of the Mennonite country, the farmland in Indiana. But the people are so nice. Do you think it's worth it, or do you think that would be such a criticism?
Well, because this is a tenured case, Ways is for tenure, and I'll be honest with you, the reason for reaching out to him or that Mennonite College was because we were desperate, and I don't know that we really want to push that one.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. How about the Debbie Bandelos? She's not in nursing, though, right?
Debbie Bandelos reviewed for him the last time, and I went back to look at her letter, and there was something about her letter that made me say, maybe not this time.
Okay. How about that Bradley Hoot-Ema from Western Michigan?
Let's look.
Because can we have more that are on Ways list? That's not a problem.
Well, we try not to have. So what I've heard over the years is no more than three of the final six should be from Ways list.
But we only have one so far, right?
Correct. Bradley from Western Michigan did not hear back from him.
Why is that, do you think?
I don't know. It's not uncommon to not get a response. Some folks are kind enough to respond and say, thank you, but I can't. Some folks just don't respond.
Okay. Do you want to send me his email?
Okay.
I don't
okay.
know him.
Okay.
I'll use a little Michigan connection.
Oh, okay. Nice.
That
nice.
May not work at all. And then the James Madison is the one you just said was a problem.
Well, her letter, I just wanted to pull it up real fast. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I need to go back and look at her letter. I just remember when I pulled up the first time, she was not harsh, but...
Yeah, maybe that's why she said no. Maybe that's why you didn't hear. Yeah.
That could be. And are we just going through the list?
I was just thinking maybe if I... Well, the only person I really know is the Kim lady, so that doesn't really help. Sometimes if you get it from a faculty name.
I get it.
How about Jennifer? You never heard from Jennifer Hill?
I did not, and this was, when did I email her? This was just on March 22nd, but that's been over a week or so. I did not hear back.
Is she in the school of nursing?
Let's look. Up now. Many of them are not.
Yeah, see, that's the other problem.
Yeah, and a lot of them aren't tenured track either.
Right.
Jennifer Hill is an associate professor of social sciences.
Yeah, see, I don't think even... and you didn't hear back from the lady from Pitt, Susan Sirico. Oh, she's a professor. She probably...
I didn't hear back from her. And George Knaffel gave me that name, University of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
She's a director for Center for Research and Evaluation, Health and Community Systems.
Yeah, I mean, she's a research person.
Yeah, and she's probably tenure track, which is good.
Okay. Can you send me hers? I'll send her one.
Okay.
I don't know if that'll help, but...
Well, anything helps, but we have to let, what's his name, Isaac weigh in, too. I hate for all of this, and you are so good and so kind and generous with your time in doing this, but it's going to become overwhelming for one person to do it, and that's why you sort of said the primary reviewer should.
Right.
But I hope they are also mindful, and I know it's easy for them to say, I don't know people in this area, and I get that, but, you know, someone did this for them at some point, so
right.
It's a collegial thing. We need their help.
and this is an area I really don't, if you ask me for nursing ed people.
Yep. And I guess the other thing to do is maybe go back to Way and ask him for additional names.
But we have, what, one for him.
Yes.
That might make him really nervous.
It could. But at some point, we need names.
And George gave us one name.
Yeah, he actually gave us two. He gave us that Susan Sirico and An Lin Chang from the University of Missouri, who actually said yes. And I hate to go back to folks like him because it's not really their...
Right.
Job to do that. He's just a kind guy, and he did us a huge favor.
Do you have Todd Schwartz's email?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Send that to me. I'll tell Todd I'm desperate for a couple of names. Can you help me out?
Okay. So you get Todd's email and
Jennifer Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, Jennifer Hill. We decided wasn't in nursing.
No, she's not. Right. But Susan Sirico, Sere.
Yeah. Send me Jennifer Hill's name. She'll probably won't respond to me either. Because you never heard, right?
No,
is
I
she
didn't.
A professor?
She's an associate professor at NYU. And who gave us? Oh, Elizabeth Stewart, who declined. One of the reviewers that we asked who declined, she gave us Jennifer's name. The other thing to, another approach might be to wait a couple of months. Some of these folks who decline because they are overextended. Because Tasha Barrettis, I'm looking at her, she said she's overextended in February, March, could possibly do it in the summer. I could go back to her maybe later this month or May and ask then.
Yeah.
But I just, folks, I know this is not a tough time, it's an anxious time for folks, and they always are saying, why does it take so long? This is why.
Right.
And
oh,
I don't
boy.
Think they see that side, but... We need the reviewers. And maybe, is this something to take back to the APT committee for their information or input?
Well, we might have to take further input. We might have to, I guess Isaac's out till April 6th.
Which is Monday.
Okay.
Which is
Monday.
That's
not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I think at some point we might have to go back to them.
Okay.
But if you could send me Sirico, Todd Schwartz, and I'll just CC you, and I'll ask Susan if she would do it, and then Todd Schwartz, I'll just see, can he give me any names?
Okay. Do you want me to send to you the email that I sent to Jennifer and Susan
Sirico?
Yeah,
that'd be
maybe
great.
Tag on to that?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. And you know what? Maybe it went into their spam email box, and they never got it. But when that has happened, it does eventually make it through, and folks will respond, hey, this went into my spam folder, just now getting this, and they'll respond.
You're
That's
being
why
very
you give
kind.
Them a
kind.
Oh, this is something.
But the other one, Leanne, I have no clue.
Yeah, she's going to be tough, and I'm just looking.
I mean, every single person's, well, we didn't hear from, Leanne's, Feinholt, so Lutz we didn't hear from, and Sharon Desmond.
Let's see, where are you looking?
I'm looking at Leanne's now.
Oh, okay.
So number 5 and 6. Send me those emails.
Okay.
Because I've done speeches for them, so I don't know either of those. I don't know either of those people, but and they're not nursing education people. But it's worth a follow up email.
Absolutely is.
And do you think I can say we're desperate, or can you help us out?
I think can you help us out is probably good.
We are
desperate. We don't need everyone to know that.
Right.
And Randy Jones, I might go back to him. He's under Kathy Campbell said yes. And I got Kathy Campbell and Randy Jones's name from, who is that, Laughlin?
But they're both from the same place.
Right, and that's why I didn't go to Randy right away. But the general thinking on that is no more than 2 can be from the same institution. I was trying not to have 2.
Right.
But given the desperation, we might need, I'll go back to him now because.
Oh, so we have a, we're. Oh, Marilyn Summers said yes.
Yeah.
She's going to be really tough.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
Yes. But
okay.
It's a comparable institution. There's nothing we can do about it.
Well, it's an objective review,
absolutely.
And that's what we want. But she just needed a little extra time. She wanted to do it 6-1.
So we have 1, 2, 3.
What are you thinking?
Wow, it's not very good for all these names.
Yeah, and I didn't. Bill Holtzmer, he's an HIV person. I don't know. He'd be great for Michael Ralph. And
yeah, he doesn't fit for this.
Yeah, so I didn't even ask him. And there's a couple other, when I go to the PEDS people, Karen Ruder Rice and Bridget Carter's the other one that I'm working on, too. Some of the same names are popping up. And I'll be honest with you. One is like a Rita Pickler. She's a full professor.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
Yeah, and if Sharon and Deb put in their packet soon, I need those folks to do those reviews.
Right.
So I'm trying to be a little selective there.
But Kathy Campbell gave you some of those other names.
Kathy Campbell gave me – Kathy Campbell?
No, Karen Lynn
Laughlin.
Rue. Karen.
Lynn Rue gave me a couple of those names, yeah, those last 3.
Mm-hmm.
And one said yes, Marilyn Summers. And actually, I sent that back to Kirsten, so she can do a little searching as well.
I wonder if we could ask Leanne, though, for a couple more. I mean, for her, we could almost say a lot of your people are on sabbatical.
That's true.
I mean, so it doesn't sound like nobody wanted to do it, at least.
Yep. So let me do that for Leanne. That's a good idea.
So Nancy Feinholt and Barbara Lutz, send me their email. Oh, no, one is decline. Feinholt's decline. No, Lutz and Desmond.
Okay.
Send me those, and I'll try see, and I'll send back.
Okay.
I don't know anybody else for her.
How would you describe her area?
I thought she did nutrition. But it doesn't really sound like that. That's the other problem. She does health behaviors.
Health behaviors, yeah.
She does,
yeah.
But the problem is, she said health disparities, but the health disparity people are people who do more like African American breast cancer versus Caucasian, like that area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She doesn't do that I know of. She does more health promotion, I think.
I focus on 2 primary research questions: what individual, family, and community factors influence health behaviors, health decision-making, health status, and health care access for underserved populations? What personalized clinical care models maximize patient engagement in preventive health behaviors and improve chronic disease outcomes?
Okay, so preventative health behaviors. Okay, let me look at the we published an article by an assistant professor, but she was from Vanderbilt, and it was on preventative health, but it was like quality improvement stuff. But I can see who was on that title page.
Okay.
I'll check her.
All right. And she was another one. Okay, so no, I went back to Way's previous reviewers. I need to go back to Leanne's previous reviewers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe we could use some of that.
Yes. I'm not opposed to that as well. Let's see, Karen Ruder Rice. I email the folks that you gave me names for. Although Catherine Vincent, I think UIC's. email was down, but I'll keep trying.
Now she's
her.
A pain person, but she's a good soul.
Oh, good, good. All right.
Deb and Brandon never emailed you back.
She has not yet. I'm hoping she will.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Bridget Carter, and she's given me, and hers is going to be tricky too, because she has combined her research in necrotizing, what is it?
Fasciitis.
Yeah, and her sort of health disparities work into one, and that's great, but those are so different.
Yeah.
You know, if I go with the PEDS piece, they're not going to be able to comment on, not necessarily on the health disparities piece.
Right.
Or if I go with the health disparities piece, they're not going to be able to comment on the PEDS piece.
But we could get a couple of both.
Yes, yes. And I will tell you, one of the reviewers who declined for Bridget gave me a list of 12 or so potential names, and they're all really good PEDS people.
Oh, good.
So that
maybe
should
we could
be...
use some of those for Karen Ruder Rice.
Oh.
I wonder if there are any of those are tenure track. Tenured.
You know what? When I look at their bios online, a lot of them do have a program of research as opposed to a clinical side. I know one is a clinical professor, but other ones, the others, they're doing research. They may very well work. Tenure. So, yeah.
But none of those are health promotion or statistics.
No. None of them are health promotion or statistics.
Oh, okay, my gosh.
You know, if these weren't tenure actions, both Waze and Leanne, if they weren't tenure actions, we might could be a little more flexible. But these cases will go to clinical sciences.
Because, you know, the problem is people don't want to do these letters anymore.
Why? Is it just so time-consuming?
They're so time-consuming.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
never say no. I even say no. No, really, it's the truth, because they take so long, and you have to be really careful of your words, because I know people read into them. And I almost always say yes. Because there's hardly anybody tenure track who does education research.
Mm.
And I felt really bad to say no, but they take a long time.
So is it more about getting the word out to the faculty that, you know, the cases, the dossiers are going out strong, but we're seeing, and not just for, with us, but just across, all over, folks are not...
It's just taking longer to get people.
Yeah, yeah. And so they understand that this, because these cases won't get done until the fall, I can tell you that now.
Right. Oh, yeah, if we're lucky. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.